You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
Content warning. This episode contains discussions of sexual abuse. Listener discretion is advised. Vanguard, Prefect, Jeunesse, DOS. This wellness MLM packed with confusing jargon was actually a brutal sex cult in disguise. Its schlubby leader hypnotized his followers, preyed on their vulnerabilities, and recruited many more to harm others on his behalf. After a dramatic 2019 arrest in Mexico, the story was far from over. This week's episode is NXIVM Cult Update. Where are they now?
A bump in the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinisterhood.
I'm gonna kill you.
Well, we're back to the schlub corner with Keith Raniere.
The hairiest, schlubbiest corner on the internet.
Oh my gosh. The type of person that you wouldn't want to touch or get near like a wheel of brie or something anywhere, because it would just, I feel like hairs from him would get stuck in it. Like anything.
God.
A bar of soap at the headquarters is
that
wrecked.
That made my stomach turn. Thinking about him near a brie wheel at a party. Like, just standing
terrible.
Next to the snack table and just pube hairs just flying and all the cheese.
He's covered head to toe. Well, we've got a lot to update you on since last we talked about this man. Episode 56 was our NXIVM episode, our genuine NXIVM episode. We covered it in episode 7, but we weren't really covering anything in the first like 10 episodes.
No, we didn't know what we were doing.
That was chaos. So,
do we now?
I don't know. Compare
better
them.
Than we did then.
So June 2019 is the last time in earnest we really in depth talked about this guy. And he had just been convicted, but we didn't know how long he was going to go away for or what was going to happen to everybody else. And now this episode, we have answers to all of it. And also tomorrow we've got something exciting.
Yeah, we have a very fascinating interview coming out tomorrow. One of my favorites that we've got to sit down with and really talk with. Just fascinating stuff.
Yeah, we're talking with Natalie Robomed, the creator and host of Allison After NXIVM. So we'll kind of take you from 2019 all the way through right now and what's happened and how her podcast fits in and all of the other crazy things that have happened. And
there's been a lot and a lot of players involved too.
So many people. It's one of those where I was like, this isn't Keith Raniere sucked, but he didn't do it alone. And there were some players that were perhaps looped in and others that were happily participating. So,
yeah, that question we ask in so many of these cases of when does someone go from being a victim to a perpetrator themselves?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get into it. In June of 2019, Keith Raniere, the self-styled guru behind NXIVM, was convicted on all counts following a 6-week federal trial in the Eastern District of New York. The charges were severe: racketeering and racketeering conspiracy, with predicate acts including extortion, identity theft, and production and possession of child sexual abuse material, sex trafficking and related conspiracy counts, forced labor conspiracy, and wire fraud conspiracy. The jury took just a few hours to find him guilty. All of his co-conspirators had previously pleaded guilty. Ranieri awaited sentencing, facing a mandatory minimum of 15 years up to life in prison.
I feel like 4 hours on a six-week trial sort of tells you everything you need to know about how the jury was feeling as far as the amount of evidence.
Yeah, the mountains upon mountains of evidence was just insurmountable.
Mm-hmm.
When you've heard 6 weeks of like sexual assault crimes, I don't think it takes long for people to come. Usually, now, we've been proved wrong many, many times. But true. In this case, he is not a likable person. He was definitely not likable sitting there. He never showed any remorse, ever. Plus, he's just has a face that you really want to punch. So once you hear all of this stuff, it's not going to take long for you to be like, yeah, clearly he did all this.
And I think the really big key is Lauren Salzman and Allison Mack's testimony. The fact that Lauren decided to turn and then not really convinced, but just told Allison, like, I'm talking out, like, do what you want to do. And Allison and she both realized one of these victims was 15 and was kept in a room by herself for a year. So this isn't all funny. You know, we didn't really know what we were doing. It's like, well, we didn't know what he was doing, especially. And we're happy to help you in any way we can.
Yeah. The summer and fall of 2019 marked the rapid dissolution of NXIVM. The U.S. Department of Justice began seizing its assets, and prominent former members like Sarah Edmondson, Mark Vicente, and Catherine Oxenberg stepped into the public spotlight. Edmondson launched a memoir and a podcast with her husband, aiming to help others understand and recover from cult abuse. Meanwhile, a fringe of Ranieri loyalists, including actress Nikki Klein, remained steadfast in their fallen leader. In a surreal act of devotion, Klein and others danced outside the Brooklyn jail where Ranieri was being held.
Some people didn't want to let go of the fantasy.
No, it's hard. I mean, they're leaving a cult. Mm-hmm. And whether it looks like the cult we're used to or not, it's still a cult and mind control. And they're all brainwashed, and they've been brainwashed for years and years. So many can't just flip a switch. It's very hard to do that.
You got to get Catherine Oxenberg talked about the difficulty in deprogramming her daughter, India. And in fact, Catherine wrote a whole book and said, I decided I was just going to write a book about my experience and decided if my daughter wanted to read it, she could. And she, of course, did and was eventually, you know, unwound from it. But it's one of those where it's not just easy to shake it off. But Sarah Edmondson was one that was like kind of the first whistleblower. So for her to now have a platform to help others, I feel like is taking a horrible thing and turning it into a mission that's definitely going to lead others to freedom.
For sure. And a great way to kind of process your own trauma too. Mm-hmm. And I mean, even like we say all the time, sharing stories is powerful and empowers others. And coming from someone that was so involved in such a well-known and modern day cult like this is extra powerful in my opinion.
Oh yeah. And it's one that went on for so long.
In January of 2020, the fallout escalated with a sweeping civil lawsuit filed by 80 former NXIVM members. The case, Edmondson et al. Versus Ranieri et al., alleged sex trafficking, fraud, forced labor, and even medical experimentation. Plaintiffs described a world where leaving the group meant facing harassment, lawsuits, and intimidation. By 2024, the lawsuit expanded under racketeering and human trafficking laws, implicating not just Ranieri, but also Allison Mack, Claire and Sarah Bronfman, and affiliated doctors.
Yeah, I feel like the folks that left early on, you know, it's always like, well, just leave. Well, anybody that left early on and did any type of speaking out, Claire Bronfman had tons of money and would send people after them, like literally PIs to try to dig up dirt and make them feel intimidated and also sue them. They everybody that the NXIVM supporters had sued had either quit because of financial reasons or declared bankruptcy. Like that's how much money. I mean, when you inherit the Seagram's money, you kind of have like unlimited dollars.
Yeah. And it's hard to fight that.
Yeah.
if you are just a regular person.
Yeah, you're like outgunned. But once that rich person has pleaded guilty to a crime, you're like, it's time to file, baby. And there's safety in numbers as well.
Yeah, for sure. Spring and summer of 2020 delayed Ranieri and other sentencing due to COVID-19, but it offered plenty of time for the public to learn about their heinous crimes. HBO's The Vow and Starz's Seduced Inside the NXIVM Cult aired back-to-back in the fall, showcasing survivor stories and the group's inner machinery. The world finally got an inside view of what had been hidden behind the group's formerly slick corporate branding, emotional coercion, branding rituals, and the infamous secret society called DOS, where women were starved, blackmailed, and assigned as slaves.
And I think that was probably the most powerful media because it was people being interviewed firsthand, and India Oxenberg just going from 2011 to 2018, this was my whole life. And, you know, you couldn't have convinced me to leave. You couldn't have convinced me this was going on. And
firsthand accounts are very powerful and fascinating to... It's the closest you're going to get to being a fly on the wall of what was going on during all of this. And people often have no idea like how bad really something – I think most of the time we don't really know how bad something is. And maybe we still don't even know. There might be stuff that still no one's disclosed. But what was going on was way worse than just an MLM gone a little haywire.
Or like, well, we were having fun, but this guy did a couple of bad things. It was like, no, he got his tentacles into every possible aspect. There was stuff.
Hairy ass tentacles.
Fucking nasty, just those suckers covered with little, hairs grown out of them. But I mean, up until like, you know, last month or, you know, a couple of weeks ago when I listened to that podcast, I was like, oh, shit, there's like stuff in this that, you know, it still hasn't even come back years later. But to think that all of those women finally got to sit in front of a camera, though, and like claim their own story, I feel like it's probably pretty empowering. Sinister Hood will be right back.
Edibles can often make you feel too high. Lumi gummies have a way of making you feel just right.
Consistent, mellow, and super delicious, Lumi gummies are specifically designed to make you feel good, not stoned. Whether you're looking for an end-of-day de-stressor, a midday mood boost, or help getting the best sleep ever, Lumi gummies has a strain that's right for you. I hit up some of these banana creams the other day, and I went for a nature walk. And
nice.
I was like, this, I love the nature. I love birds.
Don't
I love everything.
All? Man, Tommy and I both use the sleep gummies. They help so much, like a raspberry flavor. All of them are tasty and good. Everything I've tried from Lumi, it's just good, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like I'm a good person to endorse that.
You're like, if anyone would know, it's me. A plus. I love you. Thank you, Lumi Gummies. But for real, keep making that banana cream. Don't take it from
me. Lumi Gummies are available nationwide. Go to Lumi Gummies, that's L-U-M-I, gummies.com, and use code CREEPY for 30% off your order. Again, that's L-U-M-I, gummies.com, code CREEPY, lumigummies.com, code CREEPY.
Again, that's L-U-M-I, gummies.com, code CREEPY, Lumi Gummies, code CREEPY.
On September 30th, 2020, Claire Bronfman was the first to be sentenced. The heiress to the Seagram's fortune received 81 months for immigration and identity fraud. Though her crimes weren't violent, the court emphasized how her wealth helped NXIVM thrive and silence dissent. She forfeited $6 million, was fined $500,000, and ordered to pay restitution. Bronfman was, however, unrepentant and praised NXIVM in court. The FBI responded bluntly.
She will now have more than 6 years behind bars to contemplate that sentiment.
She mic'd her up.
For real, though. I mean, she was the bankroller of it. And Rick Ross, the cult deprogrammer, has said, like, the group would not have been as successful without her. I didn't realize Keith got to her and her sister, like, early on. Mm-hmm. And as far back as 2003, whenever next, you know, Keith got written up in Forbes and it was like, this is a new personality guru and the Seagram sisters are a part of it. Their dad just was quoted in Forbes being like, I think it's a cult. And he, you know, he tried to, like, drive
bad
a wedge.
New.
Right? Keith tried to drive a wedge between her family and tell her, oh, you know, because we're like, how would you spend $100 million on this fucking guy? But Keith told her, oh, your family's money is dirty, right? It's alcohol money. It was bootlegger money. Like, the only way for you to like morally make it right that you even have this money is to help us, because we're a good group that are trying to help people. And your dad's probably in the Illuminati. And she was like, yeah, he probably is. And then gave him $100 million.
That's crazy. Yeah, it's, I think also if you have bankrolled so much, it's going to be way harder for you to admit I was wrong. So much of your finances and you as a person, you're been tied up in this. I think especially when you're tied up this much financially, it's very hard to break away from it, because you have to admit a lot of stuff you did was wrong and just take it on the nose and eat crow that you lost hundreds of millions of dollars to this.
And your dad, your whole relationship with your dad, he died during the course of this. So that's something you could never get back, that you turned on your own dad for this fucking guy. And India Oxenberg said one of the things that like opened her mind when she was being deprogrammed was her deprogrammer said, are you open to things that you don't know? And you're right that when someone is like sunk cost, not just time, but this case, like time, money, reputation that she sunk into it, that I'm sure that it's, she's way more hesitant to go, maybe I would be open to things, because she, the stakes were way higher than anybody else.
Yeah. Less than a month later, on October 27th, 2020, Keith Raniere was sentenced to 120 years in prison. 15 survivors gave searing impact statements, including a woman identified as Camilla, who was 15 when Raniere began photographing and sexually abusing her. He showed no remorse, prompting the judge to impose the maximum penalty. The judge called Raniere's behavior
appalling.
Raniere was fined $1.75 million and sent to USP Tucson, a high-security federal prison in Arizona known for housing sex offenders.
Oh, yeah. Raniere's just like, I did nothing wrong. He's like, I don't know why everybody wanted to be here. They all liked it. I don't know why everybody's upset.
Because he's such a fucking narcissist. He can't even sit there in trial. And I think part of him thinks he's right. You know, like, they don't think they're lying. They think that they believe their own bullshit. And also they think they're so smart that like everyone else is going to believe it, including this judge, who they're not, buddy. And now you're going to USP Tucson, which sounds like a fucking nightmare.
It's like a sex offender prison. Like, bye, bitch.
Oh, dude. But
you're totally right. He's a person who had controlled every aspect of other people's lives for so long and was moving between women in a way that like a lot of them didn't even know he was having sexual relationships with different ones. So somebody like that's like, oh, I got this. Like, I can still control it. Even though I'm being arrested, it's fine. We'll appeal it. It's like he's like you said, he believes his own shit. And that doesn't bode well for you when you're being federally sentenced, because one of the factors that they consider is whether or not you are remorseful, and to just be like, nah.
Which is crazy that like your lawyers have to have told that, right? So the fact that you are so up your own ass and so narcissistic that you can't lower that to in your own interests, because you might get a lesser sentence if you do show remorse. Like, he can't even bring himself to lie about it, because that's just like beneath, like he, you know what I mean? It's his hubris is so much. He can't even fake lie, because that shows weakness.
Right. It's like he didn't even think like, oh, I'll manipulate the court by saying I was sad. Yeah. But it's like that shell is too important. And yeah, he's a master manipulator for sure.
In 2021, the dominoes continued falling. Allison Mack was sentenced on June 30th to 3 years in prison and a $20,000 fine. Mack had pleaded guilty in 2019 to racketeering and conspiracy, admitting to acts of extortion and forced labor, essentially blackmailing women into being sexual, quote, slaves for Raniere. A tearful Mack renounced Raniere in court. Prosecutors had asked for a sentence below the guidelines of the 17-year maximum due to her cooperation, including a crucial audio recording of the branding ritual. She reported to prison that September.
Yeah, there's a really crazy recording of Keith Raniere and Allison Mack going on a walk. And she's like, Allison Mack and Keith Raniere going on a walk to discuss branding. And they're talking about it. And in it, he asked her, so, you know, what do you think they should do? Should we have the women lay on the table and be naked and make it look like, you know, the more dominant, submissive kind of thing? And he goes, what do you think we should do? And so she starts telling them, and he's like, It's not about you, Allison. Why are you trying to make this about you? You've turned it and made it. And when you listen, you're like, ah, that's gaslighting. Like, ding, you want to like hit your Jeopardy buzzer. Like, what is gaslighting? So it's crazy to like hear that audio. But without that and stuff and her cooperation, I really don't think it would have been as an open and shut case. So while she did a lot of harm, she really was like the key that unzipped everything against him.
Yeah. It's crazy, too, to hear the gaslighting in real time and also her not realizing it, you know, and falling just victim into his whole web of bullshit. And you want to just like hit your buzzer, shake her and slap him across his hairy face.
Yeah. You think about all the times that we were younger that like 5 years later, or 7 years later, you're like, man, I can't believe I was so foolish. And she was just unfortunately foolish on a humongously dangerous scale. Like, because, you know, she was already in Hollywood, whatever. So some of us are like, man, I dated that shitty guy for a while. And, you know, you relate on a microcosmic level to what she went through.
Just weeks later, on July 28th, Lauren Salzman received 5 years probation and 300 hours of community service. Her candid testimony at Ranieri's trial, including her role imprisoning a woman for 2 years, helped secure his conviction. At sentencing, she expressed deep remorse of her cruelty against others, like the 100-calorie starvation diet she enforced and the nude photos she collected from victims as collateral. Other ex-members spoke of Lauren as both a perpetrator and a victim. She validated the victim's stories about her abuse, saying,
I know that it's true. Her mom's the one that got her into it, so that's, you also feel bad for a girl that was, you know, 18 and your mom's like, come join this thing.
Yeah. And 18 is also sucks, being like born into something like this where you have even less of a chance. But 18, you're still so impressionable, especially if someone like your mom is like, yeah, who you trust more than anything, come join this. This is great. Why would you ever say no to that?
No. And it's like you join up thinking like, oh, mom is working with this guy. He's normal. And then the guy turns out is having sex with your mom and then also wants to have sex with you and then also is having these other things. But by the time he would, it's like he would wait until they were like way far. Like Sarah Edmondson didn't get branded until she was in for like 5 years. He didn't try to have sex with Allison Mack until she had been in it for 9 years. So it was, he was like so insidious that he'd be like, I'll bide my time, until he knew it was like, that's my chance. And that's so spine tingling, like to know that there's a predator out there that's like, and go. And they like know when to get you.
They know that they have enough control over you that it's not going to, they're not going to turn against you yet. On September 8th, Nancy Salzman, Nexium's co-founder, known as Prefect, was sentenced to 42 months in prison and a $150,000 fine. She admitted to identity theft, obstruction of justice, and spying on Nexium's critics. She tampered with evidence, altering the group's training videos to be less incriminating. She began serving her term in February 2022 at a federal facility in West Virginia. Kathy Russell, the group's bookkeeper, received 2 years probation and no prison time on October 6. She pleaded guilty to one count of visa fraud for an incident in which she falsified documents to help bring a young Mexican woman into the U.S. under a bogus work visa for Nexium. Though prosecutors sought jail time, the court opted for leniency. Russell wept and denounced Ranieri as a
monster.
She marked the final Nexium defendant to be sentenced.
So she didn't get time and Lauren didn't get time, but Nancy, Allison, and Keith ended up, and Claire ended up behind bars.
Yes.
And that, I think that's fair. I mean, at the, they were the four probably most culpable out of this. And Lauren was the first to turn, which I think is why she got, even though she was pretty culpable, she got less time.
Yeah.
Or no time. Sinisterhood will be right back. Oh, man. When I got home from my little staycation, even though I had my PJs with me on staycation, there's something about your own PJs, your own bed, a cozy blanket, like when it's cold outside. And my Skims sleepwear is the sleepwear that I want to be to complete my cozy experience. Like any other, I'm not trying to have some like fleece, fluffy stuff. I want my soft Skims that's like feels like a second skin.
I need something that can breathe.
Yes.
And a lot of times cozy pajamas, like those thick fleece ones, they're soft and cozy, but you wake up drenched in sweat because there's no like airway. All of my Skims PJs, I'm pretty sure I have four pears now, and they're all my favorite pears, are breathable. They're they're buttery, they're soft, they feel like a second skin, they keep you cool, and they're just cute.
Yeah, I was like, I used to sleep in like just whatever garbage old shirts that I had, and now I'm like, hello, I'm a lady of the house.
You feel a bit elevated, a little fancier.
I'm going to have tea by the fireside.
Yes, you're like, I can, you know, cuddle up on the couch at night and feel like I've got my life together.
Absolutely. It's like such a good gift for the holidays too. I gave them last year. And to this day, my mom's like, I wore my fancy PJs. I'm like, the ones that I gave you? Thank you very much. And she loves them for the same reason.
I love PJs as a gift. Yeah. Can never
classy
go wrong.
PJ gift.
Shop our favorite pajamas at skims.com. After you place your order, be sure to let them know we sent you. Select podcast in the survey and be sure to select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.
And if you're looking for the perfect gifts for everyone on your list, the Skims Holiday Shop is now open at skims.com.
By late 2021, federal authorities completed the seizure of Nexium's assets and established a restitution fund for victims. Millions of dollars came from Seagram's heiress Claire Bronfman, who had largely funded the operation. The criminal chapter was closed, but civil litigation remained active. Nancy Salzman and Lauren Salzman were voluntarily dismissed from the civil suit by the plaintiffs, likely due to their cooperation and lack of opposition. This left the civil claim to focus on the main wrongdoers.
And that's a way, too, if you know somebody has info and not a lot of money, you could be like, I'm happy to drop this if you would like to help me with sending me information.
Mm-hmm. And if I were them, I would offer the same thing from my end. Mm-hmm. I don't have a lot of money for this, but I do have information if that can grease the wheels a bit, as they say.
Mm-hmm. It's like, mic me up and I'll squeal like a fucking bird. Like, I'll do it.
In early 2022, Ranieri launched a wide-ranging appeal. He disputed the legal definition of sex trafficking, claimed FBI agents planted evidence, and demanded a new trial. He even sought to recuse the judge. He claimed that the FBI altered metadata on files containing child sexual abuse material that were used at trial to convict him on child exploitation charges related to the 15-year-old victim. He claimed that the metadata on certain photos was modified after the FBI seized his hard drives. He made these claims even though Ranieri's team had the same data pre-trial and raised no objection.
I think he started going spaghetti, just like what'll stick.
Yeah.
He was like, the judge sucks and the FBI clicked the file wrong. And also, they didn't get paid for the sex trafficking, so that doesn't really count. And everyone's like, so you did sex trafficking in exchange for like status in your organization, and you're saying that's not really a thing of value.
Or free labor.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they were considered slaves is what he called them.
Yeah, his argument was just like, well, I didn't traffic them so that I could have sex with them. Like, I trafficked them and also had sex with them. They didn't, like, get any – I didn't get any money. They didn't get any money. And it's like, sir, do you hear yourself? Do you hear yourself?
Oral arguments in Ranieri's appeal was heard by a 3-judge panel of the Second Circuit in May. The judges appeared skeptical of Ranieri's claims at oral argument. Much of the discussion focused on the definition of a, quote, commercial sex act in the sex trafficking statute and whether Nexium's victims' non-monetary benefits, like status in the group, counted. His appeal was heard alongside Claire Bronfman's, who argued her sentence was excessive. The appeals made their way through the system.
Claire's like, listen, I just funded the whole thing. I shouldn't have to go to jail.
Well, without you, there wouldn't have been any of it. So yeah. I think that you're kind of a linchpin in the whole operation.
Mm-hmm.
While he hoped to get out, Ranieri quickly faced the harsh reality of prison. On July 26, 2022, he was assaulted in USP Tucson's dining hall by another inmate, sustaining injuries to his face and head. A fellow prisoner approached Ranieri and punched him in the head multiple times without provocation. The 62-year-old sex trafficker did not fight back. He suffered a black eye, dizziness, and nausea for over a week. Prison officials put Ranieri in administrative segregation, or solitary confinement, and initially wrote him up for, quote, fighting, which Ranieri claimed was false retaliation. Ranieri and his attorney filed complaints and later a civil lawsuit against the Bureau of Prisons, alleging negligence and retaliation.
one could make an argument for negligence if there is a situation where you knew that that other inmate was like, I'm going to go punch that Nexium guy in the face right now, and no one stepped up. The hard thing is that if you're just both in the dining hall and, like, out of nowhere, one inmate just that has doesn't have a history of it jumps up and beats the shit out of one of them, how could they have expected that? You know, and again, it's all fact dependent. So if there was some reason that they should have suspected it, but I don't know that you can really, like, predict something like that, that, like, they just hate you. I'm sorry that people in here hate you.
Prison has its own set of rules. And it's interesting, this is a prison known for housing sex offenders. There are, I'm sure, non-sex offenders as well. Mm-hmm. But sex offenders, especially against minors, they, inmates will do their own thing when it comes to the justice of prison, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, that means the wardens, the jailers, everybody that's in charge, all the corrections officers, you kind of got to watch them, unfortunately, because your job is not to just let anybody beat the shit out of them. So in this case, I don't know that the prison was at fault. You know, it doesn't sound like it, but that's kind of a risk when you go in, is that especially if you're a high profile inmate, that somebody might get wind of who you are and what you did and take it personally and take their rage out on you.
I've always found it fascinating, kind of the hierarchy and prison laws that they make for themselves when it comes to crimes and which is worse. And even murderers agree that sexually assaulting minors and children is up there at the very worst thing you can do.
No, truly. And it's Allison Mack talked about when she went to prison, she talked, you know, to her cellie, her roommate and stuff, and told her what happened. And then Allison started talking to everybody else. And many of the women were in there because they had helped men do crimes. And given her newness and everything, her cellie kind of took, I won't say pity, but kind of took her under her wing and was like telling other people, like, she's not trying to do anything illegal. She's just serving her time. Like, she's a good girl. She got wrapped up in some shit. And she said that Allison said that really helped her. So there really is this, like, culture in there. And if you're Keith Raniere, who's like, I did nothing wrong, I'm this and this, and you're some, like, you know, sex, unrepentant sex trafficker of a minor, that's going to get out. And if you're a, oh my God, I was involved in this thing and I regret it, and I'm just trying to do my time and get out of here, that will get out as well. And your mm-hmm. Allison was treated accordingly.
True. In October of 2022, the second season of The Vow featured Nancy Salzman's first interviews and new details about the inner circle. Reactions to Salzman's appearance were mixed, with some critical of her framing the group and some statements as merely a company she had worked for. Around the same time, CBC released Escaping Nexium, and even Law & Order SVU dramatized the cult story. On December 9, 2022, Raniere's appeal was denied. The Second Circuit upheld his conviction and sentence, rejecting every argument. Claire Bronfman's appeal was also denied.
I did not realize that they had filmed, they said 20 to 25 hours of interviews with Nancy, that not all of them even made it onto the series. And that when she agreed to do it, it was before she had been sentenced. And she said, her lawyer said she can only do this if it won't air until after she's sentenced. And the director was like, I was actually excited about that because I knew I was talking to a person who wasn't trying to say something like, well, this will get out in public and then my sentence will be less. She said she was just speaking, which gives some insight, though, given that she wasn't trying to downplay it for sentencing reasons. Yeah. It sounds like she's just downplaying it for herself.
She was being honest, yeah.
Yeah, or like, well, it was just this company that I worked really hard for, and he took it from me. And it's like, and you got your daughter in it, and also you were having sex with Keith Raniere.
There's a bit of denial there, probably to protect your own mental sanity, but, I mean, denial isn't just a river in Egypt, am I right?
No, and if it is, she's sailing down it in a big sailboat.
And especially when you also were responsible for bringing your daughter in. You know, I mean, I'm sure she feels guilt. Part of healing from that is being honest about the role we play in something. So dismissing it as, oh, just a company I got wrapped up in is, ma'am.
Yeah.
That's not what happened. Let's be real.
For real. It's like, unpack that you created this company that was supposed to be empowering and you let a man, into it and became part of it. That
was your first mistake.
Yeah, you let a man in. But also it's like, that's not the important thing. What happened here was that I'm so sorry for you that your like improvement company was taken from you. That's not really the harm here. But someone was locked, a 15-year-old was locked in a room for 2 years. Like, let's talk about that. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. Social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Even with convictions affirmed, a small group of devoted Nexium loyalists, sometimes called the Nexium Five, persisted in advocating for Rhaenyra. Led by Battlestar Galactica actress Nikki Klein, the group continued to swear allegiance to their, quote, vanguard, Rhaenyra, and hoped to free him. These residual supporters appeared on podcasts and websites to repeat the conspiracy theory that the FBI tampered with digital evidence. Even Claire Bronfman, serving her sentence at FCI Philadelphia, reportedly still refused to disavow Rhaenyra. By then, Bronfman had spent over $100 million on Nexium and Rhaenyra's legal defense over the years.
What do we do
She's
with these?
She's not just paying for the cult, she's paying for his legal defense, which, again, you know, if you're that wrapped up in it, it's hard to see the forest for the trees. Your vision's real clouded by your own stake in everything.
Oh, certainly. And it, I think, goes to show that when our prison system is retributive, which is you've got to go to jail for this, it maybe doesn't solve the problem, which a rehabilitative prison, which would go, and we're going to mandate that you speak with a cult deprogrammer as part of your sentence that you're serving, and she's still funding it from behind bars.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, well, now what?
Yeah, no, it's that all funds should be like cut off when you go to prison. Like all your funds that you've got like that, you can't just use them from there anymore, in my opinion.
Sure, she's like, hey, lawyers, I'm about to go to jail. I'm going to prepay you whatever Keith needs.
Yeah.
And
I mean, there's loopholes for sure.
You can't stop it. You can't stop her.
By 2023, Rhaenyra's legal avenues had narrowed. He petitioned the U.S. Supreme Court, but on April 17th, they declined to hear the case. Days later, the trial judge rejected his remaining motions, including the new Rule 33 motion for a new trial. The court found the allegations of, quote, newly discovered evidence of FBI tampering to be unsubstantiated and legally insufficient. As such, Rhaenyra's request to reopen discovery post-conviction was denied. Despite efforts to get the judge to recuse himself, that motion was also denied as Rhaenyra failed to show any bias in the judge's actions or rulings. Rhaenyra immediately appealed these post-trial rulings, keeping his legal fight alive in the appellate court for a bit longer.
This is, goes to show what happens when somebody who controls reality runs headlong into actual reality, where he's like, well, there was tampering and the judge was biased. And they're like, okay, cool. Yeah, we're willing to entertain that. What's the evidence? Well, Well, I said it
my
was.
My opinion.
Yeah, it's like, I said so. And they're like, oh, okay, well, that's dog shit. None of us care
that's
about
that.
That's
just your opinion, yeah, man. Yeah, you need some hardcore evidence here.
And also, I think his whole, but they altered this metadata. And the whole thing is, you had it the whole time. You should have looked at it. Like, what are you talking about? This is some big difference. Like, she was still 15. Like, you're a pervert.
Yeah. Yeah, regardless of any, if it was altered or not, timestamps or whatever, she was still 15.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Allison Mack was released from prison in July of 2023, roughly 2 years into her 3-year sentence, having earned time off for good behavior. She returned to California and remained quiet for months, pursuing a new career in outreach to incarcerated individuals and studying psychology. In October of 2023, Claire Bronfman filed for a sentence reduction. She cited good conduct, but on April 22, 2024, the judge denied the motion. Her lack of remorse and ongoing support for Ranieri were cited as key factors.
We see two paths diverge in the woods, and I choose the Allison Mack path, which is literally be remorseful. Turn this into this shitty thing into something beneficial for others. Like, find a way back to yourself and not just be like, la, 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 Vanguard is amazing and always will be. Let me out of jail, please. And they're like, no.
Which is wild. Like, even if you believe all those things, I mean, I'm not advocating for people to lie to get out of prison, but like, it's crazy that they're so arrogant that they don't think like, I should lie about this because, or the admiration and dedication to him, like, literally still remains. The brainwashing is still there, whatever it is. But it doesn't occur to her either to say, no, I am reformed and I would like to get out, and then get out and keep helping him, which I guess it's better that she didn't show remorse. It's just crazy that if I was in prison, no matter, I can't say this because it'll be on the record, but just know that if I'm ever in prison, I'm trying to get out of prison. You know,
I will get out, period.
I will get out of prison.
I will bake you a cake with a file in it to get you out of prison. But no, I hear you. Like, it's maybe that just shows like how deep his claws were into her.
Yeah.
That she, and I think that's, there's something to the fact that like, she and her sister, I believe, were like the second set of kids that their dad had. And he was like a little bit older. And then they were just kind of raised like, you know, go ride your horses, like whatever. And then when they turned 18, it was like, oh, by the way, here's a huge fucking trust fund with like tons of money. And you're on your own. You got this, right? And I think from there, they were like, we need somebody. And you find Keith Ranieri, who's like, I can answer everything. I'm the answer to everything that you need. Your dad, he's probably, because he's the Illuminati, he left you. And so that's her new dad. And like, you saw, she was even willing to turn on her own dad to defend this guy. Like, her own freedom doesn't even mean as much as like Keith, like being loyal to Keith Ranieri. Like,
which speaks again to retributive versus rehabilitative, because if she's going up at these hearings and openly saying, I still support this man, somebody get a fucking psychiatrist or psychologist in there to talk to her and help rewire her brain so while she's in prison, she can change those thoughts and change her ways and come out a better person. But that doesn't seem to be what anybody's priority is.
No, you're right. It's like, just go in there and be like, well, she's behind bars, so she'll figure out she did something wrong. When in reality, footage of Keith Ranieri indicates he was hypnotizing people. I mean, he was using like NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, which he would try to say certain things. You know, he would basically try to use psychology techniques on people to get them to look to him as the expert, like follow. And when that's an aspect of a case, I think that necessarily has to be an aspect of, I won't say punishment, but at least like post-trial treatment and resources that are offered these folks. You're right. Like, what, this, just locking her up, be like, she'll get over him when she's locked up. Like, this isn't a teen girl with a crush that you're gonna be like, you're grounded until you stop liking that boy. Like, this is a woman that's,
and that also doesn't work, you know.
Exactly.
You gotta talk to people need to talk out their problems. In March of 2024, Nancy Salzman completed her sentence and entered supervised release. She was barred from contacting ex-members without permission. Then, in May of 2024, Bronfman was transferred to a halfway house in New York City. Though her prison stint was nearly over, sources reported that the disgraced heiress had yet to disavow NXIVM or its leader.
You'll pry that schlub from her cold, dead hands.
On September 27, 2024, the NXIVM civil lawsuit, Edmondson et al. Versus Ranieri et al., reached a turning point. The judge in that case issued a 103-page memorandum in order that reshaped the case as it moved toward discovery, clarifying which claims would survive and which defendants would remain. By this time, Nancy and Lauren Salzman and Nikki Klein were already out of the lawsuit due to earlier voluntary dismissals, a point noted in the order. The remaining defendants included Keith Ranieri, Claire and Sarah Bronfman, Allison Mack, Brandon Porter, Dr. Danielle Roberts, Kathy Russell, and several NXIVM-related corporations. Of these, only Claire and Sarah Bronfman, Dr. Roberts, and Dr. Porter had filed motions seeking dismissal. The judge's ruling produced three major outcomes. First, all claims against Dr. Brandon Porter were dismissed with prejudice after the court found the complaint failed to explain what his alleged, quote, untested treatments were or how they caused harm. Porter was removed from the case entirely.
It's my understanding that Dr. Porter, the medical board made a complaint against him and that he was putting NXIVM participants in a room and having them watch horrifically violent material, including murder, violence against women, violence, and rape, and testing their brain reaction or whatever. And it's like, you can't, and the state medical board's like, you can't just test on people, man.
No.
Like, what is this? And what is that even meant to accomplish?
I don't think anything other than control and fear.
Mm-hmm. You know? Desensitizing people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the fear was a big part of his like programming that he did on them of like, you have to be afraid if I'm not with you or I'm not your person. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit moto.us for more details.
Casino, America's social casino.
Second, most claims against Claire and Sarah Bronfman were dismissed, but the central allegations remained. The court found that plaintiffs plausibly alleged the sisters participated in a racketeering enterprise and benefited from a trafficking venture, primarily through NXIVM's curriculum-related fraud scheme. As a result, the RICO conspiracy, TVPRA beneficiary liability claims survived, while all other claims, including state law torts and negligence, were dismissed with prejudice.
And that's, I like that law, it's the Trafficking Victims Rights Act, and the crux of it is like, you benefited from free labor. Therefore, the people whose labor you benefited from should be able to sue you and be like, mm-hmm. Hey, man, I didn't want to work for you, but I did and I didn't get paid. I deserve money for that.
Yeah. There's many ways somebody can be trafficked.
Mm-hmm.
Lastly, one claim against Dr. Danielle Roberts survived, a New York battery claim based on allegations that she branded several women with Ranieri's initials under coercive conditions. All other claims, including RICO and trafficking theories, were dismissed with prejudice.
We hear branding and you're like, oh, people could go to like, they could get branded in a fraternity or they could go get branded at a, you know, licensed tattoo place or whatever. Sarah Edmondson said it was more painful than childbirth. I've never had a kid, but she said they dragged a hot laser on her flesh for 30 minutes with no anesthetic while you're completely naked on a table held down. Like, that's the type of battery that years later someone deserves to be. You know, mm-hmm. even it's like, well, she just branded this person who wanted to be branded. It's like, they were not, they didn't want it. It was coerced.
Yeah, it was coerced and like, not even a choice. Like, if you're going to advance to the next level in this pyramid scheme and become part of the inner circle and DOS and everything, you're going to get his initials tattooed right next to your vagina, which sounds like that location was specifically chosen for a reason.
Just right there on the hips where you see it when you pull somebody's pants or panties down. And
so painful, too, because the skin is real thin. There's that bone there.
And he's
I've had lasering of my skin done, and I've had been through childbirth. I would say childbirth 100 times worse. However, I've never been lasered for 30 minutes without anesthesia, naked on a table, and I'm in a cult.
Mm-hmm. And I, you know, when I've gotten my tattoo lasered, they put like cold air on you or numbing cream or whatever. This is none of that. And it's also Keith Raniere's initials. So yeah. Sarah Edmondson has gotten hers removed. That's a medical procedure you can have done. And Allison Mack had hers tattooed over. So I think they're finding ways to deal with that. But that's also like a permanent scar that have to have a medical procedure to undo. And it's not they wanted it. It's like that's coercive control.
And I remember in one of the first documentaries about this, Sarah saying every time she went to the bathroom or changed clothes or anything, I mean, it's right there. So it's a constant reminder of what you've been through. And that is intentional. Like he wants you to have that constant reminder. And branding, if anyone's like, what the hell are they talking about? It's, well, with this case, like a laser thing, but also just like imagine branding a cow.
Like a piping hot
logo just stamped on your skin.
Mm-hmm. Sizzling. And something like that, I feel like you don't ever forget. But him to frame it as like, well, they wanted it. And it's like, that's bounded choices in a cult scenario. They didn't want, you know, even if they said, yes, master or whatever they called him, yes, Vanguard, please brand me. There was not a cogent person underneath that making that argument.
Right. Following these decisions, the court ordered plaintiffs to file a revised Schedule A detailing their injuries and set a November 7th, 2024 status conference. These surviving RICO, trafficking, and battery claims became the core of the litigation moving forward. On November 26, 2024, plaintiffs submitted their updated Schedule A, outlining economic injuries intended to support RICO standing. After reviewing it during a subsequent hearing, the judge determined that many claimed injuries did not relate to the curriculum fraud scheme at the heart of the RICO allegations. He required a second, more targeted Schedule A, which plaintiffs filed on February 21st of 2025. This became the operative damages chart for determining RICO standing. Meanwhile, in November 2024, Dr. Roberts filed a renewed motion to dismiss the surviving battery claim, arguing it was barred by New York's one-year statute of limitations. On June 25, 2025, the judge denied the motion, explaining that equitable tolling might apply but required a more developed factual record. The battery claim, therefore, remained in the case.
Yeah, to sue under RICO, you have to show that you had specific economic injuries that were caused directly by that scheme. And so the scheme was they were told, oh, you're fixing to pay for all these courses and you're going to like learn so much from these courses. And they said the curriculum wasn't that wasn't really what we were buying. Like we were buying a curriculum. And when we showed up to classes, we didn't get taught that. We got, you know, branded, had sex with Keith, whatever. So they had to prove like, I paid to go to this course. And then when I got there, these other things happened. So like emotional harm, sexual abuse, time spent in DOS, costs unrelated to the curriculum would not be counted for the RICO things. It would have to be precise damages that this injury was because I was defrauded into this curriculum.
That's a hard thing to prove, too.
It really is.
When so much of it is mental.
Yeah. And then I think the doctor who did the branding kind of said, you know, well, it's not fair. The statute of limitations is only 1 year in New York. That deadline had passed. And the judge sort of said the plaintiffs can only an equitable tolling situation is where you go, yes, the statute of limitations expired. We're going to pause it, though, because these victims either couldn't come forward, they were coerced, trauma, NXIVM had concealed it. More facts have come out now that they maybe didn't know the doctor's name. It was just, that was Brittany, and she came and lasered us. And then later when you find out, oh, it's Dr. Brittany, whatever, you know, in that case, the court says it's not really fair to tell these people, oh, too bad you got branded too late, though. You should have filed this a year after it happened when you were under the control of this cult leader. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's an impossible thing. So I'm glad that the judge allowed that as well, because I think, let us not let go of the harm that this branding was. You know, it is one thing, yeah. But like you said, for Sarah and others, like, that's something that you look at every day.
Yeah. And it triggers the memories of what it was like to go through that, which we talked about in our very first episode of, like, sitting around in this room and being led into, and you're stripped of your clothes and laid on this table and all these people around. I mean, it's a humiliating and very vulnerable position that you're in, not to mention excruciatingly painful. And so every time you see that, you relive it, you know? On September 8, 2025, the court issued another order, this time addressing the unresolved issue of civil RICO standing against the Bronfman sisters. After reviewing the amended Schedule A, the judge concluded that several plaintiffs had not shown injuries directly tied to the curriculum-related fraud alleged in the complaint. He dismissed 13 plaintiffs' RICO and RICO conspiracy claims against Claire and Sarah with prejudice, while allowing the remaining plaintiffs' RICO claims to proceed.
Yeah, it sucks because that's just the nature of the law, but they would have to show, like, I spent money to go to this event. I spent money on these sashes. I spent time away from my job. I would not have paid these costs if I were not lied to by these women and said, oh, we have these courses you can take. So while it is, I feel like, morally, at gut level, you think that they should get remuneration for the sexual and physical abuse specifically under RICO, that for to sue those women specifically, it had to be tied to the curriculum. So that's why I kept being like, come back and tell me how this hurt you. And I'm happy. It's nice that he gave him so many bites at the apple, and sad for those 13 plaintiffs. But hopefully they can proceed against other.
Yeah. It's hard to say, like, it's all tied to the curriculum. Because,
right?
Like, we're like, we all know that. But the judge has to see, you know, a paper trail of how it actually is. And cults are smart like that and don't have that. And even though it's like all wrapped up in the same thing, it kind of has to be broken apart, which is very disappointing for the victims that don't feel like their voices were heard.
Mm-hmm. Especially because DOS was sort of outside of the curriculum. And I don't know that Keith Raniere is that much of a mastermind that he was like, and then when we were sued for RICO later, you know, this won't count. But NXIVM was its own thing. And then he made this DOS thing separately. And DOS is where the branding happened. And DOS is where the sexual abuse happened. So that's kind of the other argument, is that, like, if you were just in NXIVM and you had not been harmed by DOS, then, or if you had been harmed by both, but not financially harmed by DOS, just physically, then the Bronfmans can't really answer for that financially.
By late 2025, the court characterized the lawsuit as a
long-running civil action,
entering a new phase. The rulings after September 27, 2024, left a streamlined case. Porter was gone entirely. Roberts remained on a single battery claim. Claire and Sarah Bronfman still faced RICO, RICO conspiracy, and TVPRA beneficiary liability claims from a narrower group of plaintiffs. And Raniere, Mack, Russell, and the NXIVM corporate entities continued as defendants on the remaining unchallenged RICO, trafficking, and tort claims. With the plaintiff group clarified and the surviving claims defined, the lawsuit moved decisively into discovery and preparation for trial.
Godspeed to all those attorneys.
Oh, what a whip this case must have been, dude.
Mm-hmm.
On June 29, 2025, Claire Bronfman completed her federal prison sentence and was formally released from custody. Stepping back into society under 3 years of supervised release, she returned still unmistakably tied to her long-standing loyalty to Keith Raniere. Reports indicated that even during her confinement, she had continued to quietly fund legal efforts supporting him, an unwavering allegiance that had defined her role throughout the NXIVM saga. As a convicted felon, Bronfman now faced strict limitations on her conduct, any renewed attempts to intimidate or interfere with NXIVM victims, behavior she had been accused of prior to her conviction, could bring fresh legal consequences. Meanwhile, her sister Sarah, who was never criminally charged, remained in Europe. After the NXIVM arrest, Sarah publicly distanced herself from the organization, yet she too became a defendant in the ongoing civil litigation brought by former members.
You just want to be like, Claire, sister, fucking drop it.
Shut up and come live over here in Europe with me.
For real, it's like, fucking drop it, dude. What are you doing? And I would also like to remind Claire Bronfman, you can't intimidate us or anybody that's like, talk shit about Keith Raniere, because that seems to be where she wants to spend her money. Go start a women's support organization for real. Go, there's places we can give you a list of charities to donate to. Stop if you're going to throw your money away. Yes, if you're going to throw your money at something, throw it at something worthwhile and not where you throw it and it sticks to that man's hairy, hairy chest.
Yeah.
Because like this is, it's just throwing good money after bad.
It's like one of those gummy little hands you get out of the 25 cent thing and you smack it against the wall. That thing would stick to him and you'd never see it again. If you tried to pull it off, it wax part of his, it just have a little handprint of red raw skin on his chest.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
By early 2025, many former NXIVM members had shifted from survival to advocacy, becoming leading voices in the broader conversation about cult recovery. Sarah Edmondson and her husband, Nippy, two of the earliest whistleblowers, continued using their podcast, A Little Bit Culty, to help listeners understand manipulation, coercion, and the long process of rebuilding after leaving a high control group.
If y'all haven't watched Sarah Edmondson's TED Talk, it's like 17 minutes long. It's not that long. It's so good. She goes over kind of, she's very cheeky about it, but serious too, of like how to avoid being in a cult, red flags, green flags, like how she even got into it. And like, I'm going to cry thinking about it. She was just so, you can just tell, like, she wants to help other people so much. Like, she, at the end, she's like, I just want you guys to know you are whole right now. Like, who you are whole. Like, this has become such a mission for her. And it sucks that she had to get to that mission from a lot of pain and, you know, horrific things. Luckily, like she always said, I did not get looped into the sex thing. I don't know why. But I mean, you know, the branding, the control and stuff was still very bad. Mm-hmm. But you can just see that it's, she's just so deeply wants to heal other people and in a kind way. Cause she's like, and if you're in something like this, like to seek is human, like seeking out other, like it's, you're not broken because you wanted to be part of a group, but mm-hmm. the group that you might've wanted to be part of might've been broken mm-hmm. and you just, you know, you accidentally stumbled into it. It was so beautiful. And she was, I'm really happy for her that she's been able to sort of turn it around. And she was, like I said, like one of the big, that New York Times piece was like one of the big flashpoints.
Oh, sure. Yes. And the fact that her husband is so supportive mm-hmm. and right there along with her and everything. But mm-hmm. that is what we hope to see from a former member and not continuing to support him financially mm-hmm. and emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
India Oxenberg, once one of NXIVM's most closely watched survivors, deepened her own contribution with the release of her memoir, Still Learning, reflecting on her experience in DOS and her continued healing. Meanwhile, India's mother, Catherine Oxenberg, remained a steady public presence, emphasizing the need for deprogramming support, education, and resources for survivors. Together, these efforts marked a period in which NXIVM's former members reclaimed their stories and used them to support others emerging from similar systems of control.
India has been so generous sharing her experience because she's like POV. She's like, I knew getting out of it, like I knew I loved my mom, but I did not love my mom. Like I didn't feel love for her. And she's like, I wanted to heal that. And so just it's very fascinating when someone is willing to crack their head open and be like, I'll tell you everything that I was feeling.
They're willing to have a different point of view. Like they said, are you willing to see things a bit differently?
Mm-hmm.
By mid-2025, Keith Raniere's final hopes of overturning his conviction were effectively extinguished. A Second Circuit panel issued a sweeping decision rejecting all three of his remaining appeals. His third request for a new trial, his attempt to reopen evidence discovery, and his effort to disqualify the district judge who had been overseeing Raniere's criminal case. The three-judge panel found that no new evidence had actually been uncovered, calling Raniere's claims speculative and noting that even if taken at face value, none of them would overcome
the mountain of evidence
supporting his guilt. They also ruled that he had no legal right to post-judgment discovery and praised the judge for his handling of the complex case.
Yeah, to be fair, I mean, at every turn, I feel like the district judge who was in charge of, you know, all of this was not anti-Keith Raniere. I mean, I think he was just like, okay, show us your evidence. Or he held the standard and Keith Raniere's like, but he sent me to jail and I don't like him. I want him to get kicked off because he sent me to jail. And it's like, don't do crimes, man. Like, that's why you went to jail. It's not because the judge was like biased.
No, I think all the judges did a really good job considering especially how much evidence there was and how many moving parts and players there were involved in this.
Mm-hmm.
With this ruling, Raniere exhausted his remaining appeals. His conviction and 120-year sentence now stand firmly in place, and any future avenues for relief, such as habeas petitions, are considered extremely unlikely to succeed. He remains incarcerated at USP Tucson with a projected release date of 21-21, effectively ensuring he will spend the rest of his life in federal custody.
I've already said I want to make it to January 1st, 2100, so I will let you guys know if Keith Raniere is still around. And if he is, he's going to be at USP Tucson, so at least we'll know where he'll be. I'll go throw an egg at his window. Yeah,
we'll know how to get in touch with him. A new podcast series titled Allison After NXIVM has brought Allison Mack back into public view, this time in her own words. In the series, produced by CBC and hosted by Natalie Robamed, Mack speaks candidly about how she fell under Keith Raniere's influence and how she became an active participant in his abuse. She reflects on her time in prison, her marriage to a former neo-Nazi, and her current efforts to support incarcerated individuals, framing these experiences as part of her attempt to rebuild her life and take responsibility for her role in NXIVM. The response from NXIVM survivors and the broader public has been mixed. Some listeners view her openness as genuine and are willing to accept her apologies, while others remain deeply skeptical, questioning whether her remorse comes from true self-awareness or from a desire for public redemption.
Well, tune in tomorrow for our conversation with Natalie and literally firsthand accounts of sitting down with Allison for hours, what Natalie took away from it, what we took away from listening, and what all Allison has been doing afterwards. And also check out the podcast yourself, Allison After NXIVM. It's fantastic. Every single episode is so well done. And I was moved by it. There were times my jaw was on the floor. I cried. That's what you need to do though. I think if you're much like Sarah Edmondson or like India Oxenberg, like want to put it all out on the table and not try to say, I didn't do anything wrong. Allison was like, this is how I did it and what I did and how I ended up doing it. And that's valuable to future coercive control people, I think.
Yeah, you got to get ahead of it for sure.
Mm-hmm. And victims, yeah.
By late 2025, Keith Raniere's world had shrunk to the confines of his cell. Reports described him as being in declining health and increasingly isolated, a consequence both of the severity of his crimes and the prison restrictions that accompany offenders of his category. NXIVM itself no longer exists in any functional form. The organization that once operated seminars, coaching programs, and secret inner circles is now entirely defunct. Yet, the legal reckoning is not fully over. In the Eastern District of New York, the civil lawsuit brought by NXIVM survivors continues, with plaintiffs seeking monetary damages for the harm they endured. The case remains active and could move towards settlements or a trial in 2026, extending the aftermath of NXIVM into yet another chapter. So what do we think?
Well, it wasn't until you sort of see the timeline of this to where it is now and where it started that these things don't start in a vacuum, and also they don't develop unnoticed, including Claire Bronfman's dad in 2003 being like, I think it's a cult. And then people in 2007 and 8 being like, this seems like a cult. And Sarah Edmondson brought the point in her TED Talk. She was like, I joined in 2005 and I didn't even like Google is NXIVM a cult. And she was like, the amount of information is so much more robust now. So hopefully were something like this to try to happen in the future that, you know, hopefully it would go viral on TikTok early on. Mm-hmm. However, we see Twin Flames Universe, Teal Swan, Bettino Massaro, Love is One, Profundity Yours, like not necessarily, right? Like, however, hopefully because there is so much attention and now the message can get spread, you know, the message, hey, this is a cult, can get spread, that we won't see anything like this. But I feel like Keith Raniere is up there. I mean, experts have said he's like up there with like Jim Jones in as far as the amount of control he had over people and the breadth of his control over so many people.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad that this particular cult is defunct. Mm-hmm. Of all the ones you listed that are modern, I mean, it would be ignorant to think another thing like this won't crop up. But hopefully the more documentaries that are made, the more survivors that speak out, the more podcasts, shows, whatever, to give a little insight. So maybe if somebody does find themselves in what they thought was just a self-help group at first, and then they're like, oh, this sounds strangely familiar to that NXIVM cult that I heard about, they start to see, oh, red flags before it's too late and can get out. And but there's always going to be people looking to belong. I think that's just human nature. And there's always going to be someone there to exploit that vulnerability and take advantage of them. And we just continue hoping that those people don't meet.
Right. And there's so much value to Sarah Edmondson and Allison Mack and India Oxenberg and all of them, not just saying like, trying to save face, like in the end of like, oh, I did these things, but here's why. But taking us granularly through of like what worked on you, like what got you to even walk into a room, what got you to stay in a room where I feel like cult experts, like we talked about Dr. Janya Lalich on in Twin Flames. She was also in the Seduced series, the Star series, like folks like that in being able to talk with survivors can then help develop protocols and develop red flag lists and things like that. So then when the information does get out there, it's not necessarily just this is a terrible, sad thing that happened, but it's like this is a terrible, sad thing that happened. And these are how it happened. And here's what to look for. And also if this is happening to you, what to happen. But Catherine Oxenberg is like the one of the like, you know, poster children for a supportive parent. Allison Mack's mother as well. She's interviewed in the Allison After NXIVM, but listening to the family members too of like, what were you thinking? What were you going through? How did you maintain contact with your daughter? How'd you get your daughter back? You're right. I think there's going to be more groups like this. Like, it's crazy to say they're not going to be, but hopefully they won't be as successful as this and as widespread if this information is getting out.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're flagged with like the feds earlier. Yeah. So they're shut down, you know, even if people don't come out and say something, just like these things are flagged much sooner as being like, oh, this is indicative that this is a high control group and we need to shut it down right now.
For real, like get the like attorney general paying attention, the FBI, somebody paying attention earlier before people are getting fucking branded and spending $100 million on literally a pile of hair with glasses on it.
Dude, I like that when we interviewed Natalie early on, we called him a schlub and she was like, oh, yeah, he's real schlubby. Like everyone, we can all agree on that. And she was fantastic to talk to. So smart and knowledgeable about all of this, but just an excellent journalist and, you know, just very compelling. I hope everyone enjoys listening to it as much as we enjoyed talking with her. So you get another thing tomorrow to tack on to this.
Get a little bonus episode. And yeah, and thanks to Natalie for talking with us as well.
Absolutely. Well, if you like our free episodes like this one, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next or dive into over 1,000 hours of content like Judge Christie, where I rule on petty grievances you bring before the court. True Crime Headlines, where we break down the latest news and updates in true crime. Heather Saves, where anything Heather has found late night scrolling can be discussed. And Emma the Asshole, Unpopular Opinions, and other subreddits that we feel require our input.
Stay tuned. You saying that, I was like, I got to give me another Heather Save together. I've been finding some weird shit I need to share. And if you're not sure what we're talking about, we offer free trials. You can join for free as a free member, and you can stay a free member for as long as you want. You get the monthly bonus content, throwback, and Sunday Scaries. But if you want to join at a tier and you're not sure what tier, a free trial lets you join for a week for free at a tier. Check out all the perks on that tier. And if you cancel before the trial is over, you will not get charged. But if you stick around, do an annual membership, you get 1 month free and you get a ton of other stuff.
Yeah, you get ad-free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As, quarterly live bonus content, weekly audio bonus content, minisodes, merch discounts, and a community of the best listeners on the whole internet.
Head over to Sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner for all of your holiday shopping. You can check out Sinisterhood merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos. You can gift a Patreon subscription. Patreon has made it so easy to gift that. And you can also gift a cameo. There's so many Sinisterhood things to gift us, but our merch on our website is a tangible one, a physical one.
Yes. You can unwrap. Yes. And while you're on our website, you can also review the show. Thank you so much to everyone who's left kind words and 5 stars. It's the biggest present you can give to us this holiday season. Submit topics for cases you'd like us to cover. You can submit your odd but true tales for Freaky Friday and whatever bizarre or hilarious video you want us to live react to during Sunday Scaries, our weekly live stream over on Patreon every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Central. It's totally free. You just enter your email. You get immediate access to the always amazing chat, which is probably the best part of Sunday Scaries and all the live streams. And you get a backlog of content that's for free members. And Tommy sends out an audio content once a month as a thank you, too. So there's all sorts of stuff just for signing up for free as a thank you.
Absolutely. Follow us over on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Follow us on TikTok and YouTube at Sinisterhood Podcast to watch clips from the episodes, live streams, and more. And if you are looking for a unique personal gift for the Sinisterhood fan in your life and you want something that's currently on sale, have I got news for you. Book a cameo now. From Merry Christmas to Happy New Year to congratulations to you can get through this holiday season. Just don't worry about it. You got this. Pep Talks. We would love to create a customized video that can be immediately viewed and sent. And now, through Sunday, December 14th at 11:59 p.m. Central, it is on sale for just $20 per cameo video. $20. That's so, what that's the deal. Lowest price of the season, I believe. Mm-hmm. That's it. And it's the last sale of the year. So take advantage now. It's a thoughtful gift you can get on sale in your PJs from your house. You don't have to go shopping at cameo.com/sinisterhood. Go to the website to get the absolute best pricing. Where can people find you online?
Well, before I say that, I was thinking another really fun thing about cameos is to be there when the person receives it. And if you're giving it as holiday gifts and you're together with the family and you get to see that person's reaction or like watch it with the family, it's super fun. When I gifted Heather a cameo from Coach Bennett, my ears are still ringing from the screams that were scrimped, but it was so great. And also, when I got my cameo from Fiona the Hippo, I burst into tears in front of an entire baby shower. So it's like fun for everybody, right?
Exactly. I hope so. Please wear earplugs, though, because I definitely, that's why I laughed when you said that. I was like, you mean in my confined car when I screamed at you?
I love it, though, because it means that, like, it lets that person know you really see them. Like, this is something strange. But we know that you love this person or these creators. And here they are giving you a very personalized message.
And that I sobbed at and rewatch it multiple times a year. So it's the gift that keeps on giving.
I need to bring Fiona back. I need to bust her out for the kids.
Oh, they would love it. She said hi to Simon in it. She said hi to Ella and she said hi, new baby. So they're already famous. Fiona knows who they are. We'll go to cameo.com/sinisterhood and get yours. Get your loved one screaming this holiday season.
Yeah. Whoa.
Where can people find you on the internet?
I am on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm on the internet at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for supporting the show on Patreon. Here are your special Patreon shoutouts. A-E-A-M.
Holly Sly,
Brianna,
Emily O'Donnell,
Jen,
Nathan Palmer,
Jordan,
Chanel Tradell,
and Amy.
Thank you all so much for supporting the show. We could not do this without you. We sincerely appreciate each and every one of you. We hope we pronounce your names correctly. Stay safe, stay healthy, and keep it creepy.
Sinister.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right.